I'm Pastor Tim, and welcome to The Two Greatest. This is episode 1287, Back Then Believers. One of the very best things a Christian can do is travel. Okay, I confess, I love to travel. I want to see God's creation, all of it. I want to explore all parts of the world, cultures, countries, languages, customs. But that's not what I'm getting at today. I believe one of the best things a Christian can do is travel because it shows you the rest of the world isn't just like your part of the world. And believers in other parts of the globe who share the same core tenets of the faith express their faith so much differently than we do in our churches. And you know what? That's A-okay with the Lord. Have you ever wondered if first century Christians were just like 21st century Christians? Maybe you assumed they were. Today, let's talk about back then believers. This podcast, T2G, is about the two greatest commandments that Jesus told us are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Here we ask the question, what would it look like for Jesus to live a life of love through us? And that might be different if we're in a different place, a different time, in a different country, and that's okay. One of my favorite theologians is Michael Bird. He's an Australian professor of New Testament at Ridley College in Melbourne. He's the author of many great books, and he does a weekly, sometimes even daily, blog called Word from the Bird. You gotta love it. Recently, he had a blog titled, What Was It Like to Be a Christian in the First Century? What was it like to go to church in Antioch with Barnabas, or in Corinth with Apollos, or in Rome with Priscilla and Aquila? It's a fascinating question because it's a complex question. He mentions five ways our expression of Christianity was not theirs. First, he said, the early Christians didn't spend all their time being Christian and doing Christian stuff. They were artisans, shopkeepers, slaves, scribes, and merchants who made a living and looked after their families. That is not to say that their religion practices were hidden or compartmentalized. But we have to remember that in the ancient world, a thing called religion was not neatly insulated from everything else. Second, he said, the Bible was not the center of their faith. The scriptures, which meant the Old Testament in Greek, and then eventually the Gospels, Paul's letters, 1 Peter and 1 John, and soon enough, many other writings, were quickly venerated as being normative and were used in worship and for the instruction of converts, but most people didn't have a copy of these texts, and most people were not literate. It was an oral world, not exclusively, but orality was a big factor. Most people carried their Bible around not in bags, but inside their heads from quotes they had heard or memorized. Third, the first Christians didn't call themselves Christians. The term Christian means devotee or partisan of Christ, the Messiah. The early church was called followers of the way, or even Nazarenes, or the church, or the assembly. The name Christian was applied to the church first in Antioch by civil authorities as a way of distinguishing Jewish Christ followers and their Gentile adherents from other Jews in the city. Number four, the biggest debates among Christians in the first century were about food and fellowship. If you read Acts 11 and 15 and Galatians 2 and 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans 14, the most contentious issues in the early church were over food. What kinds of food should believers eat and who can we eat them with? And finally, number five, the early church lived at the intersection of many cultures, including Jewish, Greek, Roman, and whatever their local culture was. The first Christians were part of the Jewish Messianic movement, but they were also under Roman rule. And they were in the most Hellenized East. But even then, local culture and provisional atmosphere shaped their Christianity. Great insights. So here's the great question. Which of those most surprise you? And which of those most interest you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for preserving the truth of the gospel for all these generations. Thank you for the ways that different cultures and languages and traditions and experiences deepen our understanding and expression of your good news. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for episode 1288. And in the meantime, let's be honest. Church today, in terms of style and music and dress and appearance, doesn't look much like the church of our great-grandparents. And you can debate whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But today, let's continue to learn about and appreciate those believers back then.